Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. and I am a recovered compulsive eater in California. Today is Wednesday, May 28th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 100 on the second paragraph, when working with a man, through one paragraph ending the blessed fact of his sobriety, and we'll be commenting on one paragraph. Today's readers are, we have Sarah N. for the 12 steps, Nancy D.M. for the 12 traditions, Leslie M. for the reading the passage in the Big Book, Janice P.M. for a vision for you, Robin P. for backup, Alex K. is the newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. is up for announcements. Thank you all for your service for today and throughout May. The reference number for yesterday is Tuesday, May 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 22,469. That's 22,469. And for today, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 22,471. That's 22,471. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And next are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I ask Sarah N. to read the 12 steps of OA, please.
Hi, good morning, Donna. Thank you for your service. My name is Sarah N. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. And these are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Sarah N. Next up is Nancy DM for the 12 Traditions of OA. Nancy, please unmute. That's star one.
Hey, technical difficulties. Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy DM, compulsive eater and anorexic. Good morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service this month. I pass.
Thank you, Nancy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 100 in the second paragraph, when working with a man through one paragraph ending the blessed facts of his sobriety, with comments on this paragraph. And now I ask Leslie M. to begin reading.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. But urge upon a man's family that he's been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. As I've heard many others share today, I don't deal with the families. I often don't, unless I'm just listening for somebody's voice. Even if I ran into some of the people I sponsor, I wouldn't recognize them because I have never seen them. I've only dealt with them. I turn this paragraph back to myself and also to my sponsees. It says, that he is a sick man and should be treated accordingly. I have to remind myself of that I have also been very sick and that my sponsees are very sick, so that I can continue to be loving, tolerant, and kind in all situations. Also, that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. I've been abstinent at this point and recovered for about 3.5 years. My defects pop up all over the place all the time. I think that's the life that I have to live now, is seeing what God's will is and dealing with that, doing whatever I need to do to take care of them, you know, and working the steps in my life, you know, so that it still happens. But that, you know, some of these defects may never disappear. I know I always thought that, you know, if I asked for them to be removed, that they would be gone forever. Well, if I asked for them to be removed, they might be taken an inch away. It could be right there because, you know, I don't know what's going to be helpful to someone else today. And perhaps one of my defects of character will be just that. I don't make those decisions. But it says, remember when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. And I'm very grateful to be abstinent. But that is just the first step. You know, that's what I've learned. The first step is that I needed to be entirely abstinent. And then I needed to work these steps. But I also can remind my sponsees, you know, that their defects of character aren't going to be gone, you know, and that maintaining that entire abstinence is, you know, is the foundation of, you know, before step zero, I've heard it called, before we start working the steps, that entire abstinence needs to be in place. Because if I'm getting an effect from the food, then I'm not going to get the effect from the steps. And I had 28 years in OA where I was doing just that. I was still in the food and working the steps and wondering why I wasn't getting it. So, you know, I have to remind myself that this, even though I don't work with families, that I can remind my sponsees and myself that this is a disease and we've both been very sick and we're going to continue to be human. And that's all I've got, Donna. Thanks for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. Okay, so now is the time for shares. And although we valued your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So please share your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from.
I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey.
Gotcha, Barbara.
Margaret O. from Connecticut.
Margaret O.
Janice K.
Janice K. Anyone else want to jump in on this first lineup? Yeah, Barbara W., Margaret O., and Janice K. We'll get started with you three. We are reading page 100, the second paragraph, starting with when working with a man and his family, finishing with the blessed fact of his sobriety. If everyone else please mute, and Barbara W., go ahead, and you'll be followed by Margaret O.
Okay, I'm Barbara W., and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm an alcoholic as well. I'm recovered from AA. First, I was an alcoholic, and now I'm in OA because I had a food problem. I was eating and drinking at the same time at night, and I was just way out of whack. And since I got into the program now, I have been able to work with people and their families, and I was able to participate with a lot of calls with people, places, and things. And so what I do is I just I try to stay out of calls because I'm not perfect neither. I'm still growing. I'm 70 years old now, and I'm trying to take care of myself more than ever because I need it. I go to the doctor. I'm trying to obey the doctor, what he tell me to do. I'm trying to eat better with my food plan so I can feel better. And I have family, but I can't change them. I love them. I'm with them. If they need something, I try to help them in a small way, not in a big way because I can't afford it. But in a small way, I try to help where I can. But I have to remind myself to take care of me. I go to church. I can't change the church. I can't change the church people, but I can change me. So I'm realizing this more and more. I'm focusing more on myself. What do I need to do? when there's people, places, and things that I see I can't get along with, I just avoid it. And that's the best thing for me to do, avoid. Because I have emotional conditions too. And the 12 steps is teaching me how to walk away and avoid things. And that's a blessing for me. Because I would try to get right on in it with it. We can't. These people are sick as well. I'm sick. So I have to take the program and work through it for my life and have a happy, joyous, free life. And it's doing it. And I will continue on that way. I'll help people, but I can't make them. We can't take anybody and make them do anything. But we have to do it. And we have to keep working this program no matter what happens. Because this is where it is. And I thank God for everyone that I hear in the program of recovery here. It is a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara W. in New Jersey. Next up is Margaret O. in Connecticut, followed by Janice K.
Good morning. Thanks for your service and moderating and everyone who's doing service for the meeting and for the share so far. I'm Margaret, compulsive overeater, recovered in Connecticut. And, you know, it's I love to see how my HP is speaking to me through these words in this book. And when I read this, when we read this paragraph, when working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. Well, before the meeting, I decided to do some writing. And even though I've done a 10th step on some of my family members of late, I then given them away and done the work around them, I still have these feelings that are coming up, and I decided to just write about it. So I wrote a couple of pages about this, and when I got to the end of it, it was like, you know what? This is, I don't have the answers to these questions, but this is tapping into the bondage of self, self-absorption. And it's all about their interactions and what they're saying about me behind my back and how things are, you know, I'm finding out about things that have been said about me and so forth. And it's painful, but I kind of translate this to, you know, when working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. Like, I'm going to adopt the attitude of being loving, tolerant, and kind. And when working with a man relating to my siblings or other people, I would take care not to participate in their gossip and just disassociate from it. It doesn't matter. I don't have the answers. I don't really know. And then to urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. I have been a very sick person in my disease for, you know, a lot of my life, that growing up with my family and then living away for 30 years and returning 5 years ago, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm on this, you know, steep uphill climb of of dying to self and going through some painful, you know, realities in my relationships with them and trying to just tap into God and for strength and direction. I don't need to play God. See, I've been the sick one. I'm the one who, when we're in these situations, I'm thinking, how can I win their approval? How can I be loved? How can I show up the way that I want to be seen? And it's all this self-absorption. And that is just not where I need to be. I need to be listening to God and following direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret O. in Connecticut. Next up is Janice K. Please share where you're calling from, and then we'll open the line for more shares. And just to remind everyone, we're on page 100, the second paragraph, when working with a man and finishing with the blessed fact of his sobriety.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. We don't deal with families at a close distance. We don't get up close and personal with families. I have found that Someone in a way earlier meeting commented that, well, of course we deal with families because we deal with a member of the family, and how we affect them is going to echo down into the other members of the family. Now, I have never sat down and said, now listen here, Billy Sue, or Johnny Joe, this is what you need to do. And that is just utterly beyond the pale. As a matter of fact, I have learned that when I am talking to someone who is distressed and they are angry, I have to watch the tendency to enjoy a little long-distance dabbling in emotion and chaos. I have to pull myself back, reach for my higher power, and say, okay, God, let me listen with your ears and not with mine. Because the big book rightly says there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. And there is. It takes a long time to get over this disease. And then we have to deal with the issue of being terminally human. It's not an easy thing, but it is a remarkable thing when people take you seriously and do it, because the changes are huge. It does take some time, but it's amazing how much difference just a year can make when you have someone go through the steps and try living in 10, 11, and 12. So we work with families at long distance with tongs and gloves on, very remote, but we work with families because what changes one changes them all. Thank you for listening, Night Pass.
Thank you, Janice K. in Oregon. Okay, I'm open for the next lineup. Jump in on this last Wednesday of May.
Natalie C.
Is that Natalie C.?
A-L-I.
Malta S.
I'm going to have to ask people to start again. Was the first one Natalie C.?
New Jersey.
Okay, who was the first one, please?
Barbara E., New Jersey.
Okay, Barbara, I have you. I heard someone before you. It sounded like a Natalie C.
Oh.
Allie, A-L-I, Allie C., from Maine.
Well, thank you, Allie. Okay, so I got Allie, and then who was after Allie? I heard one other person before Barbara.
Malka S.
Malka S. Okay, so Allie C., Malka S., Barbara E. I heard someone after Barbara. All right, who else would like to share today? Okay, go ahead, Allie C., and everyone, as you share, please share where you're calling from. After Allie will be Malka. And everyone else, please mute.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes. Please go ahead.
All right, hi. My name is Allie C. I'm from Maine and very new to all of this. And I have a sponsor, and I am 2 years sober in another program. And I am feeling the weight of how much, I guess the best way to say it is I'm feeling the weight of how much this doesn't apply to the gains I've made in other areas in my healing and sobriety. And I feel like I'm just getting beat to crap by this disease. And I'm struggling to reach out. Just feeling this feeling of like, oh my God, I can't believe what a powerful disease. I have not been able to maintain my abstinence the last, I guess it would be 3 or 4 days now. I'm not looking at a calendar, and I just feel obsessed passed, and I knew I had to reach out and say this in the meeting because I'm going to talk about it with my sponsor today too, but I need to, you know, not just feel safe there and connect with others to get the help that I need, because boy, oh boy, the credits don't transfer and I feel like a fledgling little baby deer on the ice. And I know I'm safe here, and I trust that recovery is available to me because I have it in other areas. But boy, I'm struggling, and I just wanted to share that. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you for sharing, Allie C., one day at a time. Malka S., followed by Barbara E.
Good morning, everyone. I think I heard my name. This is Barbara E. in New Jersey, a volume compulsive overeater and a retired higher power. Well, for me, I always say unsolicited advice is just criticism. If someone asks me my opinion and I think they really want to hear it, I'll give it in the softest, kindest way I can. I won't point fingers at them and say, you must do this, you must do that, because I know how I would have reacted. I would have called them a name I won't mention here and slammed down the telephone. But for me, the process of seeing who I am is what I don't want to be. OA and the 12 steps are the power that causes an airplane to become airborne. It only works when the pilot is doing the right things to make it work. I may or I may not only have peace with God. I have the peace of God through an active God consciousness. And from experience, I realized I cannot go back and make a brand new start, but I have to go right through it. I can start from right now and make a brand new name. And for me, that page, I think it's page 417, acceptance was the answer. I had to be aware I had a problem and accept I had a problem and then do something about it. Action, action, action after action. And I have to also say that kindness is doing what you can when you can for others. So if I'm just doing the bare minimum, like getting a C+ on a test, well, that's okay, I'll pass, but nothing more. But if I'm a competitor, I want to be better than you, I'll do anything I can to get that A+ on the test. But if I'm a first responder, and those men and women are such heroes, I'll turn back and offer my help to another struggling person. And kindness is doing what you can when you can. And that's really all about what it's about. Broken people helping other broken people to recover.
Time.
Thank you. Have a beautiful Thursday, everyone. Barbara E. in New Jersey.
Thank you, Barbara E. And Malka S., can you share?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Malka S. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater living in Mexico. And then I guess what stood out for me in this paragraph is the line that says, you should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. And that just is such a good reminder for me. I'm bringing this back, I guess, to myself and then I see others and how I see the world today is a huge reminder, because I can't change other people, but I can change the way that I see other people in the world. And I think that when I'm feeling judgmental towards someone else, or when I'm feeling like, you know, that, or like blaming, say, for something that they did to me or something that they did that I didn't like, I'm kind of looking almost in the mirror, and I'm seeing something in them that I have within myself. And to recognize that defects of character don't disappear overnight is really powerful, because I'm able to see others and myself in a way that is maybe more, a little bit more compassionate, a little bit more empathetic, a little bit more understanding and forgiving and loving and tolerant, which is what I really, really need and what I really want in my life, in my program. I have a situation right now that is a bit stressful and completely out of my control. And I'm heavily leaning on this process and my higher power to just take me through it. And without any doubt and without any worry, he's either everything or nothing, and I believe he's everything. So for me, that's what works for me. So I think that's all I have to share today, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for everyone's shares and service. I hope you have a great day. Pass.
Thank you, Molta S. in Mexico. Okay, so it looks like we have time for at least three more shares, and maybe four. And we are reading the second paragraph on page 100, When Working with a Man. And just want to open the invitation. If you've never shared before, today is a great day to share.
Suri C. from Connecticut.
What was your first name?
Suri, S-U-R-I.
Suri C. from Connecticut.
Julie P., Minnesota.
Julie P.
Julie B., Oregon.
Julie B. About one more.
Wendy M.
Thank you, Wendy M. Okay, we've got Suri C., Julie P., Julie B., Wendy M. And if everyone please mute your phone and go ahead, Suri C., followed by Julie P.
Hi, this is Suri C., compulsive overeater. I'm listed in the from Connecticut. I'm now in New York. This paragraph actually makes me a little bit sad, because I haven't heard of stories of people, of sponsors working with family members. I think that since COVID, one of the things that becomes increasingly, you know, it's like there's so many Zoom meetings, but there's a certain amount of like, I could hide behind the Zoom, I could hide behind the phone call. To be a sponsor and step into a person's life and step into a person's family, like, whoa. And the thing is that we're not they're not being asked to step into the family. They're being warned, right? Don't get involved. Don't participate in their quarrels. You have to be careful because so many boundaries, like I know that for myself, one of the most difficult things is my own boundaries with my own family members and recognizing that, like, what's my place and not going to the food because I had a family member, like, take over for me and make me feel totally incapable of doing something, or the jealousy or resentments that appear, like, faster than you could even breathe. So I'm just putting, you know, I'm putting out a word of, like, for sponsors, like, to just, like, or just a prayer to just continuously hold God's hand or higher power's hand to take care, to be present and be that presence of calm, serenity, but be present. It's very hard to just be present and not participate. And that's the message that I got from this paragraph. And I really hope to be able to do that more so that I cannot harm myself with food. And with that, I thank you for letting me share. Thank you for all of your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Suri C. in Connecticut. Next up is Julie P., followed by Julie B.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a food addict, compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I've really been thinking about this first sentence of when working with a man and his family, we should take care not to participate in their quarrels. And that says to me to mind my own business. And when that thought came to me through the whispering wisdom, it reminded me about most of my life, I have been busy minding everybody else's business but my own. Because when I do that, I don't have to deal with my defects of character. And I am so grateful today that this program is teaching me to look at my conduct. How has my conduct been in a day? Have I harmed anybody today? And I guess really that's all I wanted to share is may we all just mind our own business. It's a hard thing to do. And with that, I'm going to say thank you, everybody, for your service and pass.
Thank you, Julie P. in Minnesota. Next up is Julie B. in Oregon, followed by Wendy M.
This is Julie B. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much to everyone who set up this meeting and all of you that are running things. I really appreciate it. My name is Julie B. from Oregon. I am a compulsive eater, sometimes a binge, sugar addict, I believe. I've only been in OA for about 10 days, and this is about my fifth meeting, I think. So I just would kind of like to introduce myself and then talk about the reading. I came to 12 steps through Al-Anon because my partner and a lot of family members are alcoholics, and I learned a lot about the steps and the step process and how it works, and I got a lot out of it. I'm still getting a lot out of it. But it's only recently that I realized that my problem was not my alcoholic, my problem was myself, and the eating impulses are a manifestation of that. I have a a lot of fear around this because my mother was anorexic and she died of anorexia and dementia, and I was her caretaker. So I sort of question every bite, like, is this too much or not enough? If I don't eat this, am I being anorexic? If I eat this, you know, it's a struggle, and I should probably get some counseling around that. But I came to OA looking for the same kind of peace that I found in Al-Anon, and I'm so happy to be here. I have a lot to learn. I'm just a beginner. I don't have a sponsor yet. I kind of want to feel my way around for a bit and then find a sponsor, definitely. The way the reading spoke to me was about my family, which is right now me and my partner, and he's an alcoholic. And last night, I said, hey, the weather's really great. Why don't we go for a boat ride Friday? And he had a lot of excuses. Oh, the boat's not ready. The boat's not clean. What if it rains? Blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of feeling like some of that was his disease. And I just said, you never want to do anything fun. You never want to do anything that takes effort. You never want to do anything outside. And I snapped at him. And after a while, he went home. So I couldn't sleep that night. I just couldn't sleep. I was having my own consequences of my own poor behavior. And so I'd been abstinent for 10 days, and I blew it. I turned on my favorite baking show on TV, poured myself some wine, had a box of crackers, and I just dove into all three.
Time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie B. Welcome. And then we do have sponsor announcements and newcomers to share their numbers at the end of the meeting.
Thank you.
Wendy M. from Colorado, please share. And then it looks like we'll have the time for one more share.
Yes. Good morning. Yes. Yes. Good morning, Wendy M. Recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And moderator, I didn't catch your name, but thank you for your service and everybody on the line. Mind my own business. Oh, Lord, that should be the name. Mind my own business. What are we at? Oh, AA or A or something. That's hilarious and true. So here's the deal. Like this program's simple. The 12 steps, the principles are simple, right? But it's not easy. It's not easy to give up our defects of character. Like one of mine that's just a choice, you know, they say it in the AA 12 and 12, we have like these choice defects that we still want to hold on to. So I'll give you an example of, you know, it takes a while. I've been in this program 25 years, and I'm still holding sometimes. So yesterday I'm with some friends, and I just start talking nonsense, gossip, about somebody in my life, and the minute I left the lunch, I got in the car, and this is how the program works. And God and the program start working on me. And God's like, how was that? How'd that feel? I'm like, it didn't feel good at all. This feels awful. Good. Make an amends. So I called somebody, did a 10-step, and then I came home, and I made amends to the three women I gossiped to. And that's always important if you are a gossiper. That we make the amends to the person we gossiped because I was being, you know, inconsiderate and selfish. I was pulling them into my world so that I could self-seek. I could feel better than this person. And I was putting down another human being. I could see also that I had a resentment towards this human being, and I haven't let it go. You know, because gossip tastes good for about 8 seconds, and then it doesn't feel good. And that's true for the cookie. It's true for any which way I'm out of alignment with God, right? Because, and the other thing I want to say is when we have our defects and they come up, because they do, like it says in this paragraph, the defects actually get me to God. I know that doesn't make sense. They also block me from my assignment that God gives me every day. But they get me to God if I'm awake at the wheel, because this program is about being awake. And the quicker I'm awake, the quicker it feels awful to gossip, to anything, put my son down, tell somebody what to do, the quicker I have that effect of God. Because now God is the easier, softer way, not the cookie. Not even gossip. I thought gossip would be the easier, softer way. It's not. It actually feels awful to do those things. And I get to course correct faster as I work the program, right? As long as I'm working the program, I'm going to be back in alignment with God, right? The intuition. That's what we get in this program. We get to get from insane to sane. But I love that somebody said, thank you so much, and I pass.
Great. Thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. Okay, we have time for one more share. Who'd like to take this golden moment?
Nicole J. in Virginia.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, good morning. Nicole J., recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. I hope you can hear me. It's raining. I just want to say thank you for all the shares. I feel like I'm in, like, Big Book University or whatever. I feel like this is what I always needed, was how to live life, you know, how to turn it over. And I'm just learning. And what I was thinking about is, me and you, both you and the new man must every day walk that path of spiritual development. And I'm so grateful because I do get to walk every day. I have one sponsee, and I'm so thankful for her. And while I don't, you know, I don't get involved in her family stuff, of course family stuff does come up in our talk. And one of the ways that I get to pass on the message is to share what the program and what God has done in my life and in my family and in me as a wife and me as a mom, and share that with her, with other people, and other people do that for me. It affects my family, and I never thought it did. I never thought my disease affected. I don't know. I thought I kept it kind of, you know, tucked away and they didn't know. I don't know why I thought that, but of course it does, and the recovery affects them as well. And every day that I have this interaction with my sponsor or with other people in program, I do feel like I'm on the broad highway. I do feel like I'm in it with other people. Compulsive overeating was so lonely. I just was so lonely my whole life. And now I have people, and I get to do this with other people. I have people who understand me. And I understand when somebody calls and, you know, talking about something, I get it because I've walked it and I never really appreciated that before. So I'm just really, really grateful for that. And I'm really grateful that every morning I can get on and I can just listen and learn and catch up on all the things that I just never knew before. And I really needed to be here to mind my own business. I don't know why I struggled that my whole life, busy fixing other people, or trying to, and my life was a hot mess. So I'm thankful that I'm learning how to mind my own business. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Nicole J. in Virginia. Thank you for everyone who shared. I heard some really powerful shares today, so thank you. And thank you to Team Wednesday for May. It's been a pleasure serving together. Okay, so we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I would love for Janice PM to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
And thank you so much, Donna. We love you too. And I am such a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Page 164, paragraph 2, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.